Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, February 15th, 2018. We'll start with a story titled City Talks Solar Other Projects, and this is written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. As city officials look at zoning requirements for solar projects, Danville Engineering and Urban Services Director David Schnell told Alderman Tuesday night he's had some conversations with solar developers. One is interested in the H&L landfill and another the former Heatcraft site. So we'll be exploring some opportunities for some old vacant land, Schnell said. He also reported about getting approval for phase one of the Denmark Road project. This allows the city to pursue right-of-way acquisition, move forward with construction plans, and submit a final application for the Environmental Protection Agency loan. The sanitary sewer portion of the project could be bid out this summer. Schnell said they've started some appraisals. In other updates, Danville Mass Transit Director Lisa Bythe said they continue to talk to Tilton officials to try to save the Tilton bus service. Bythe said Danville District 118 also has urged the continued route due to high school students who work at the animal shelter and CARA and parents using the bus for parent-teacher conferences or special presentations at Southwest Elementary. Garden View Manor and other businesses also have employees who ride the bus, Bythe said. Bythe said it may be true not a lot of Tilton residents ride the bus, but the DMT route to Tilton takes a lot of people to Tilton for shopping, employment, and school. The Tilton Village Board had voted to discontinue the bus service, which cost the village about $4,000 a year, on April 30th. In other city updates, Mayor Scott Eisenhower said the city is running a little low on salt to treat roads for the snow and ice. The city has enough salt for about 3.5 events before needing more. He said city employees are rationing and mixing it as best they can to still clear the roads. Eisenhower also told Alderman the city is exploring costs for refurbishment for an aerial fire truck that has been in for repairs. Also, demolition work continues to move forward on Iowa and Oak Streets and other locations, with demolition of former Lincoln School demolition also finishing up. In addition, aldermen are expected to act next week on an attachment need to clear trees related to the dam removals. In other business, Tuesday, committee members recommended approving a $359,378 contract with Midwest Asphalt Incorporated for the Cohen Creek Interceptor sanitary sewer work and purchasing permanent easement from Steel Grip Incorporated and Straw Pack Incorporated for the Upper Cohen Creek Flood Mitigation Project. They also recommended approving an agreement for engineering services for bridge inspections with Farnsworth Group Incorporated. The estimated cost is expected to be $600 per bridge. The two-year agreement doesn't include the Denmark and Hungary Hollow bridges. The estimated cost for 2018 and 19 routine inspections on bridges during this time that are two-year or four-year inspection cycles is $11,700. I'm the only one in the city available and qualified to inspect bridges, Schnell said. They also recommended appropriating $566,500 in motor fuel tax funds for the city's 2018 general maintenance program, and they also learned there will be a Greenways and Trails Plan public meeting from 10 a.m. to noon on February 24th at the David S. Palmer Arena, and the city's annual Neighborhood Association workshop with registration starting at 8 a.m. at Harrison Park Clubhouse also will be on February 24th. Okay, the next story is titled Oakwood to Take Over IGA Site, and this is written by Carol Roem in Oakwood. The Village of Oakwood will become the new owners of the former IGA store site next week. Trustee Bob Parr said the village is set to close on the property on February 21st. Last month, the Village of Oakwood agreed to pay $123,750 for the grocery store site at 100 South Scott Street after negotiating with the First National Bank of Catlin that had acquired it when the owner filed bankruptcy. The Oakwood store, as well as the Catlin IGA, closed in November of 2016. The Village Board Monday night authorized Public Works Director Steve Wendell to hire Zillman Land Surveying of Danville to study the IGA site, not to exceed $1,500. The village had been actively seeking an interested party to reopen a store there. After several months with no prospects, the Village Board authorized Mayor Clay Woodward and another board member to negotiate with the bank for the building. Although the topic of demolishing the former IGA store has been on the Village Board agenda twice, Parr said acting on the demolition of the building is premature. "We don't own the building yet," he said. "We just talked about it. We didn't make any decisions. Our certainty, though, is that the village does not intend to renovate the existing structure. If we kept the building, we'd have to heat it," Parr said. "Ultimately, what the village decides to do with the property will depend on money. What we do is dictated by money," he said. "We envision a village hall and a community center, but it might be 10, 15 years down the line." In other business Monday, the board discussed making sidewalk improvements along Oakwood Street from U.S. Route 150 north to where the sidewalk ends to make them handicap accessible. Engineers estimate the project to cost about $165,000. Parr said Oakwood Street needs to be repaired, but the village cannot seek federal or state funding until the sidewalk complies with the Americans with Disabilities Act. "It's 44 years old, and we need to do something about it rather than patching it," he said of the main thoroughfare. And they also approved posting the job for office clerk at the Village Hall to replace Nancy Grimes, who is retiring on May 18th. Okay, the next story is titled D-118 Adds Fall Break, and this is written by Carol Roem in Danville. Danville District 118 school board members Wednesday night unanimously approved adding a week-long fall break in mid-October at its traditional calendar school starting next year. The board also approved the calendars for pre-kindergarten traditional calendar schools and Northeast Elementary Magnet Schools balanced calendar for the next 3 years from 2018-19 through 2020-21. The idea of adding a fall break came about during a health and wellness fair for district faculty and staff earlier this year, school year, when teachers were asked their opinion about having a fall break. A formal survey of faculty and staff district-wide resulted in 321 supporting a fall break, 81 opposing a fall break, and 6 replying they had no opinion. The fall break between October 15th and 19th, which is the week after Columbus Day, will coincide with the fall break at Northeast Elementary Magnet School, the district's only balanced calendar school. Assistant Superintendent of Elementary Education John Hart said Columbus Day would become a staff attendance only day. When board member Lon Henderson asked why the week of Columbus Day wasn't recommended as the fall break week, Hart replied that the district typically has issues with staff attendance the week after Columbus Day. Board President Bill Dobbles told the board, "We're doing this on a trial basis. If we feel like this isn't working, we'll amend it the following year." Hart said adding the week-long fall break at the traditional calendar schools would have very little effect on the start of school and end of school dates, maybe adding only 2 days at the end. The district has considered on and off for several years the merits of having all of its schools on a balanced calendar. The addition of a fall break could be the first step toward realizing that concept. Also, on Wednesday, board members approved hiring Food Service Secretary Sue Barnes as the new Food Service Director, replacing Greg Lazell. Her salary has been set at $68,000. Lazell was terminated in September and faces charges of theft of $10,000 to $100,000 from a school, a Class 1 felony, official misconduct, a Class 3 felony, and 5 counts of intimidation, all Class 3 felonies. A plea has been set for Friday at the Justice Rita B. Garman Vermilion County Courthouse. Barnes joined District 118 in 2012 and has 16 years of experience in food service, labor management, and staff evaluations in Danville and Fort Wayne. "Sue knows what she's doing," Superintendent Alicia Geddes said. "She stepped right in and we have not skipped a beat." Geddes praised Barnes for her her creativity in adding dishes to the menu that were higher in calories to help stave off the flu among children with food insecurities. In fact, Geta sampled the new items before they were served in the cafeterias around the district. "We needed to get additional calories to our students," Geta said. She, meaning Barnes, wants to serve our kids and get them what they need. They also heard Barnes explain the Share Table program that was initiated 3 weeks ago at the Northridge Middle School and 2 weeks ago at Danville High School. Under the federal free breakfast and lunch program, students must take all of the food given to them in the breakfast and lunch lines. Sometimes students don't eat all of the food or don't like what they've been served, and it ends up being thrown away. "We have a lot of waste, but we have a lot of kids who are still hungry," Barnes said. "It's Share Table taking care of an issue. Instead of students throwing away food, they now place it on the share tables and can take something they do like. The items allowed on the share table are limited to unopened, prepackaged food and whole fruit." Northridge Principal Eliza Brooks said the students really have embraced the share table. "We hardly have anything left over," she said. "Kids will get two apples and eat them." They also heard that cursive handwriting will be taught district-wide in third grade as a mandated unit of study. The Illinois State Board of Education recently adopted school code that mandates one unit of cursive handwriting be taught before the end of a student's fifth grade year. A committee of teachers from each elementary school recommended that all K through 4 students should receive a minimum of 10 minutes of handwriting instruction per day. Second grade students should be introduced to cursive writing as a component of daily handwriting practice, and handwriting materials will be piloted during the remainder of the 2017-18 school year with handwriting materials purchased following the pilot. They also reviewed a first reading of the curriculum for a new music history course at DHC. The board adopted the new course at an earlier meeting. They also learned that DHS revised its biology, chemistry, introduction to classical guitar, and music theory courses to meet the new Illinois learning standards, and they also entered into a new contract with RICO to update the district's copiers and printers at an annual cost of $161,000, which is $13,000 a year more than the previous five-year contract that ended in 2015. The new equipment will be installed in March. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. Early Dean Morris, Sister Shaw, 77, of Danville, formerly of Forest City, Arkansas, transitioned from her life at 6 a.m. Saturday, February 10th, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A homecoming celebration will commence at noon on Friday, February 16th, at New Life Church of Faith, 1419 North Bowman Avenue. Visitation will be at 11 a.m. Friday until the time of the service. A public viewing will be from 1 to 5 p.m. Thursday, February 15th, at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, officiating Pastor Michael J. Wright. Interment will be at Sand Hill Memorial Park. Bob Grissom, 74, passed away Monday, February 12th, at home surrounded by his family. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday, February 15th at Sunset Hutton Leisure Chapel at 200 East West Street in Georgetown. Immediately following visitation will be a graveside services at Georgetown Cemetery. Matthew Frazier, 44, of Kansas City, Missouri, passed away February 10th. Visitation from 9:30 a.m. February 17th with 11 a.m. Mass at St. Thomas Moore Church at 11822 Holmes Road in KC, Missouri. The full obituary is at the chapel. Minnie E. Clausen, 96, of Covington, Indiana, died Tuesday, February 13th at her home following an extended illness. Funeral services are 1 p.m. EST times Friday, February 16th at First Church of Christ with Pastor Mike Harshman officiating. Burial in Mount Hope Cemetery. Visitation from 11 a.m. EST time until the time of the services. Mary Melissa Johnson Hink, formerly of Danville, Illinois, passed away peacefully February 9th with family by her side. A public graveside committal service will be at 11 a.m. Friday, February 16th at Sunset Memorial Park, 3901 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Officiating will be Pastor Michael Heidel. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center is in charge of the arrangements. And Clarence Champion, 92, passed away February 13th at Hawthorne Inn of Danville. A celebration of Clarence's life will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, February 17th at Batestown United Methodist Church at 2224 Batestown Road in Danville, with Pastor Patty Weiss officiating. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. prior to the service. Burial will be at Oakwood Cemetery. Memorials can be made in his name to the Americans Alzheimer's Association. Okay, the next story will be titled American Inn Doesn't Want to Close City Plans Public Area. And this is written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. And there's a picture of this planning drawing shows parking spaces and other items in the area now occupied by American Inn on East Main Street. City officials might file a lawsuit to gain control of the property. A business the city has had problems with in the past doesn't want to close its East Main Street location, and the city might file an eminent domain lawsuit to get control over the property. As part of the city's East Main Street corridor plan, the American Inn Motel at 1824 East Main Street would be demolished and the property repurposed for public use, according to Mayor Scott Eisenhower. Owner Roger Patel with Main Hospitality Incorporated said the city had sent some people over, but he doesn't want to relocate. Kenny Johnson, a current manager helping Patel improve the motel, said, "It's not for sale. We're not going to close down." Johnson said they continue to remodel and clean up the property. "We want the place to be for good, solid people, and people that have respect for others," Johnson said. "We want the place to be..." I'm sorry, he said the motel is family and pet oriented. There are about 30 rooms for daily, weekly, and monthly rental. The city in 2012 forced the American Inn, then called Oaklawn Inn, to close. City officials said the hotel was uninhabitable because the fire alarm system didn't meet standards. The hotel had to be in compliance with all life safety issues and building codes before it could reopen. The building had an up-to-date fire alarm system installed. It was painted and reopened with a new name in 2013. According to Eisenhower, "As we have done once before, then there is a project of public interest. We try diligently to negotiate with the property owner. If at the end of the day there is no opportunity for agreement between the city and the property owner, then it behooves us to utilize eminent domain in an effort to try to convince a court for a public purpose and a fair value. The city should have the opportunity then to acquire the property." The city also filed an eminent domain lawsuit and was granted property for the Jackson and English Streets runabout. The former Danville Bar and Grill across the street on East Main already has been demolished. Passerby can already see some of the city's daylighting of Cohen Creek opening up some of that area, Eisenhower said. The city also wants to improve the area to the west of the creek on the south side of East Main Street, he said. The East Main Street corridor plan calls for more memorial parks and open space areas and daylighting Cohen Creek, now piped underground at the railroad tracks north of Cannon and Griggs Streets, until it reaches the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare's campus south of East Main Street, where it appears, to restore it to a more natural state above ground. The American Inn site would be a green space with trees and landscaping, some parking, a bus shelter, and bike rack for low-cost implementation, city officials said. "We envision this being a trailhead," Danville Engineering and Urban Services Director David Schnell said, about using some of the existing parking lot for people to use as parking area to head north to the VA and Danville Area Community College campuses. "We'd like to talk about continuing some trails potentially through those facilities. which would require their cooperation, Schnell said. Schnell also said it's been a great connection to the south side of Main Street and the daylighting of Cohen Creek and the planned Williams Street Greenway, which also is part of the long-range plans of East Main Street Corridor Plan. We see this as a pivotal piece in being able to get some momentum going, Schnell said, adding that the city could use community development block grant funding for the property acquisition and improvements. Schnell said they will continue to negotiate with the property owner, but with no response, city officials could bring back in the next month or so to the resolution to move forward with the lawsuit. Both sides have not said what amount is being offered for the property. According to Eisenhower, the appraisal takes into account the business and the revenue generation from the business. Relocation costs are minimal because it's a hotel, not permanent residence, but the owner may also live there, he said. Due to negotiations continuing, Eisenhower didn't want to release anything publicly yet. Okay, the next story is titled Veterans Try Hand at Nerf Hockey and Win. VA offers special activities all week, and this is written by Mary Wyckoff in Danville. And there's a picture of Esther Trevor, who is 102, poses with members of the Danville Dashers following a Nerf hockey game Wednesday at the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System. Trevor served as an Army nurse in World War II. It was only fitting that the veterans won a Nerf hockey game 5-4 against members of Danville Dashers on Wednesday. After all, it's their special week, the VA's national salute to veteran patients. The Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System has been presenting special events all week for its patients, and on Wednesday, the hockey players mingled with veterans and stayed for an ice cream social. The hockey players had a handicap. They had to use wheelchairs, but that didn't stop them from making veterans work for their points using soft hockey sticks and Nerf pucks. Sandy Kendall, a Navy veteran, made the winning shot, although she's never played hockey before. She hasn't had that much fun in a long time, she said. After the game, the Dashers presented a check for $5,000 to members of the VA's Voluntary Services Department. The money was raised during the Dashers Military Appreciation Night on November 18th, followed by an auction of the players' jerseys online. Lenhart Auction conducted the auction at no charge. The money will go into the Recreation Therapy Fund and will be used for events such as taking veterans to games. At the beginning of the afternoon, Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower read a proclamation declaring this national salute to veterans' patients. He told the veterans, "Anytime we get the opportunity to thank you, we need to take that opportunity. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you've done for us. There's a special place in people's hearts for the men and women who paid the price of freedom," he said, adding, "Their service has ensured our freedoms. Everyone has the opportunity to make a positive difference in veterans' lives," Eisenhower said. Also Wednesday, veterans had their photos taken with the Dashers and also enjoyed an ice cream social. At 4:30 p.m. today, there will be a veterans' ball. The week ends Friday with the Danville Area Community College women's basketball team playing Jeopardy with the veterans at 2 p.m., followed by pizza. Okay, the next story is Danville School District, All the Ingredients. New food director brings wealth of experience, written by Noel McGee in Danville. The Danville School District's new food service director won't have a big learning curve. Board members on Wednesday unanimously approved hiring Sue Barnes, the interim director, and prior to that, a longtime food service secretary for the job. Barnes will earn an annual salary of $68,000. I'm excited and looking forward to trying new things like the share table and providing nutritious and made from scratch meals, she said following her appointment. Barnes replaces Greg Lazell, whom the board fired on September 20th, 5 days after he was charged with one count of theft of government property between $10,000 and $100,000, one count of official misconduct, and 5 counts of intimidation. At Lazell's preliminary hearing, a Danville police investigator testified that he demanded and received a minimum of $22,000 in cash reimbursements from people he supervised for purchases he allegedly made on behalf of the district over a 3-year period. The investigation also said Lazelle made a habit of going to 5 employees and demanding that they reimburse him for purchases from Lowe's and other stores throughout the county from the lunch accounts from September 1, 2014 through September 1, 2017. Lazelle, who ran the department from April of 2011 until his suspension last September, is scheduled to enter into a plea agreement on Friday. Barnes started working for the district in 2012 as a secretary in the food service department and the cashier's office at Danville High School. She also has worked as secretary at the district warehouse. Prior to coming to the district, Barnes served as a receptionist in the Vermilion County State's Attorney Office and the Circuit Clerk's Office. She also spent 16 years working for off-track bedding parlors in Danville, Champaign, Fort Wayne, and Churchill Downs. She brings a wealth of experience to the table, Human Resources Director Diana Kirk said. She added that since Barnes has stepped up at interim director, we've not skipped a beat. Superintendent Alicia Geddes complimented Barnes on finding creative ways to address food insecurity among students, including establishing the Share Table program in the district. Barnes launched the program at Northridge Middle School 3 weeks ago and at the high school 2 weeks ago. Under the program, students who take a school lunch can put certain food items that they're not required to take but don't want to eat, that they are required to take but don't want to eat, such as uneaten fruit and milk, on a designated table. Then they and other students can take a discarded item or two from the table to supplement their meal. We have a lot of waste, Barnes said, adding that discarded food had to be thrown away. We also have a lot of kids who are still hungry. She said one student may not want his milk. That can satisfy another student who wants another serving. It's just a constant give and take, she said. A little bit of a slow news day, which is good, I guess, but so I'm going to read an editorial here. It's called titled Guest Editorial, Tax for You, No Tax, and a Warm Puppy for You Because You're Special. Want to rile folks? Give some people a tax break or government benefit that the rest of us don't get. Everybody in Springfield felt good doing something nice for disabled veterans. Then the reality sets in. A 90% disabled Marine Corps vet is getting an $8,000 a year break on his $395,000 house in Troy. Add that Donald Moore is a conservative Republican running against incumbent state representative Charlie Meir because Meir isn't Republican enough, and a little hypocrisy sets in. But Meir, too, is getting a little something-something from the government. He's a farmer who, since 1995, received more than $700,000 in subsidies for his farm near Oakallville. Subsidies lower consumer prices by making an essential service profitable, and at $20 billion a year, they represent the largest form of corporate welfare. We appreciate our retirees in Illinois. No state income tax for them, 5% for you. That's a $2 billion perk. Illinois and other states do not tax retirement income out of 31 states with income taxes. If Granny Smith is on the brink of subsisting on cat food after her service to their nation, that's one thing. But if Granny is living in a house worth $400,000, she can afford property and income tax. Means testing would be one fix. Ending special benefits for special groups would be another. Making a decision not to take a benefit that you really don't need would fix things too. So anyway, that's interesting. I guess that'll be it for today, Thursday, February. I'm just making it July already. Sorry. This is February 15th, 2018, Thursday. Hope you all had a good Valentine's Day yesterday and enjoy that warmer weather for the next couple days. Going to be a little rainy, but at least it's warmer. So anyway, I hope you all have a good week and see you again next week. Take care. Bye. Bye.